We have traveled through many universes, through many species of life. Pramanda Pramite Kola Bhagyavan Shiva Guru Krishna Prasari Vai Bhakti Latari. The material world is a place of great misery, and the sufferings are due to activities we perform that are against the will of Krishna. There are three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. And every word and every action that is enacted within our life becomes implicated in these three modes of material nature. For every action, there is an equal corresponding reaction. So we are destined, due to our past, to enjoy and to suffer. When we come in contact with the representative of Krishna, he represents the mercy of Krishna. And by his words, he teaches us how to engage in those activities that are above all the three modes of material nature. Krishna says in Gita, sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha yishami masucha. If we surrender to Krishna, we can become free of all sufferings. Daivu heshugu namayi mama maya duratyaya mame vanya papatyante maya metatirantite. The three modes of material nature are very difficult to overcome. The miseries of material existence are like a vast, unlimited ocean. But one who surrenders to Krishna, crossing over this ocean of material miseries, is no more difficult than stepping across the amount of water contained within the hoofprint of the calf. So it is this process of surrender, devotional service, that we learn from the spiritual masters, from the Shiksha Gurus, from the Diksha Gurus, who are acting on behalf of all of the previous acharyas. At the time of initiation, we take vows of commitment, not just superficially for some social prestige or for some superstitious type of protection in our material existence. But a genuine disciple takes vows to inquire submissively and to render service, to actually follow the real path of bhakti. At that time, the spiritual master, he, on behalf of the previous acharyas and Krishna, he gives us that formal connection to the disciplic succession. And exactly how the spiritual master takes our karma is something that is very inconceivable to our particular conditioned state of intelligence. But what is most important to understand is that he is teaching us the means by which we can forever be free from sins. He's teaching us the means by which we can achieve shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And through the process, all the karma of all previous lives are consumed by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Srila Prabhupada stressed this point at times, that the spiritual master takes the karma of the disciple. And what that means to the disciple is that we should be eternally grateful. We should never, ever, ever displease Krishna by disobeying the orders of the spiritual master. If someone does a great favor for you, you should feel unlimitedly indebted. And that grateful, indebted state of consciousness will give you the proper determination to never give up the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Krishna. We read our great acharyas in their prayers to Guru and Vaishnavas that without their mercy, Prahlad Maharaj said, without the mercy of Sri Narada Muni, I was helplessly struggling in the miserable well of material bondage. But he has picked me up. So to try to technically understand how exactly the spiritual master takes all of our karma is very difficult. But the practical functional principle of how we should be ever grateful, ever indebted, and ever willing to serve the mission and the instruction of the great spiritual masters is what will bring us to the perfection of life or Krishna consciousness. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted all the sins of Jagai and Madhai as soon as they genuinely, actually surrendered. So similarly, following in the footsteps of Jagai and Madhai, we should genuinely and sincerely surrender. And Srila Prabhupada explains in one beautiful purport that Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, that whatever the disciple does, that will affect people to see his spiritual master in that light. Therefore, a worthy disciple would consider it a pain worse than death than to put a blemish on the image of spiritual master by misbehavior. So this is our expression of love, that we want to represent the representative of Krishna in such a way to bring glory to our Guru, to bring glory to our disciplic succession, and to bring glory to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If a Hare Krishna devotee misbehaves, the whole world will blame his Guru and ultimately Krishna. Whereas if a devotee behaves in a proper way, then those who are fortunate within this world will see through their life the glories of Guru Parampara and Guru and Krishna. So, Jayadeva Maharaj, if you would like to add to that. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, we hear that Krishna's body is transcendental.
This microphone is not driving. Please speak into the mic.
Maharaj, we hear that Krishna's body is transcendental, but we also hear that it never changes. But we see that Krishna did take birth, he grew up to be a child, then he became a youth. So how do we understand this?
It's a magic show. By Yoga Maya, Krishna enacts these transcendental pastimes. But Janma Karma Chame Divyam, our birth and activities and bodily changes are imposed upon us by the Mahamaya, the material energy. And Krishna's apparent birth and so on are a display of Yoga Maya, his spiritual energy. So it's a transcendental drama enacted by the Lord. Is that all right?
Ravi Prabhu, mic in front. Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shivatu Tukatantra.
Hari Bol Prabhuji, we can't hear properly here.
Hari Krishna.
Hari Krishna. What is the exact difference between a shiksha guru, a preacher, or a counselor? There's a very... Hare Krishna. Yeah. So what is the exact difference between, as you say, shiksha guru, or a person who is preaching to us, and a person maybe who is guiding us in our day-to-day Krishna conscious activities? So what is the difference between these three people?
In essence, the difference is faith. All devotees who are preaching to us, who are guiding us, are representing Krishna. Those who have a very deep impression in our hearts, in their guidance and instructions, and who invoke a tremendous degree of faith, generally they are considered to be our Shiksha Guru. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, kindly send this particular mic back because too many mics are on and the speaker is on, so there is reverberation. So maybe devotees here, Prabhujis, can ask a little louder and I can translate, I can repeat the question here. Hare Krishna, so there will be one microphone here and one just where Vishwaru Prabhu is there, and those who want to ask question kindly can come there and ask question.
Hare Krishna. We have heard that one of the lectures that whatever one person may do, some people will get offended some people will always be offended. It's impossible to try to please everybody. But we also know that we should not offend the Vaishnavas. If we offend the devotees, it is not possible to make any tangible advancement in devotional life. So how is it possible to see that all the devotees are satisfied, and how to reconcile both these?
Of course, when Krishna is satisfied, then everyone becomes satisfied. The person who is actually Krishna conscious will satisfy everyone. As Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, he is dear to everyone and everyone is dear to him. And those who are not satisfied with him, the heck with them. But if one is actually a devotee, Trinadapi Shunichena, Amani Na Manadena, then even if there may be some difference of opinion or disagreement, Vaishnavas will not be offended. But if one is Dambho Darpo Vimanascha Krodham Par, if he's arrogant and proud, then even if he's right, they may be offended. So that mentality will help us. Is that okay?
Thank you. Hare Krishna Maharaj. I would like to ask a question. What should I prefer if I would have given a choice of land, cows and village, or living in the towns and serving Vaishnavas? What should I prefer? Means it's an individual question. What should I prefer if I would have given choice of land, cows and village, or living in a town and serving Vaishnavas?
We would rather live in hell with Vaishnavas than heaven without Vaishnavas. Ramananda Rai prayed the only misery in all of existence is to be without the association of devotees. Without the association of devotees, we are living in hell. That should be our determination. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is emergency. What does it mean?
Prabhupada said
Krishna consciousness is emergency.
Krishna consciousness.
What does it mean?
I never heard Prabhupada say Krishna consciousness is the emergency. Material life is the emergency. And Krishna consciousness is the ambulance. Is that okay? There are so many rules and regulations pertaining to our material life. We should satisfy our parents, we should satisfy the government, we should satisfy the demigods, we should satisfy our neighbors, we should satisfy all of these people. We should observe these rituals, we should observe these principles, we should observe these social conventions, we should do all these things. So similarly, while driving, you have to follow the speed limits, you have to follow the drive on the correct side of the road, you have to do so many things. But an ambulance just goes. Because it's dealing with an emergency. So, in that way. That we have so many duties, so many obligations, so many rules and principles to observe. But Krishna consciousness supersedes all of those principles. And the need for becoming Krishna conscious and spreading Krishna consciousness. Therefore Krishna says, Sarvadharma Prajaja, don't worry about all those things. Just Mahamekam Sharanam and Praja. And then all of the demigods, all of the relatives, all of the friends and countrymen, they'll all be served automatically when we simply serve Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. It's not working, okay? Hare Krishna Maharaj. Sometimes we come across, I'll give the exact person. It's a young girl who's going to college, and her parents, it seems, burn her when she tries to attend a satsang, and they keep her locked up at home. She's not allowed to receive any phone calls. She cannot meet anybody, and least of all Krishna conscious devotees. So she sometimes, when the parents are not at home, she rings up and she says she's dying to come for the satsangs, and in secret she keeps a conversation, and she says that my parents have just given me birth to give me clothes, food and a house to live in. Other than that, there is no connection with my parents, no relationship. And there is no question of such a person ever taking initiation or even attending the programs. What is to become of such a person? Because she is very sincere.
Krishna is in her heart and knows her desires. If she chants with faith and she's taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead wholeheartedly, then she may be making far more advancement than many of us sitting in this room thinking about so many material concerns in life. The real initiation is the surrender of the heart, not simply throwing some seeds on a fire. Is that all right? Jayadvaita Maharaj has the solution.
Marry a Krishna conscious boy and escape.
Krishna, Maharaj, I have one question. It is said that the relation between spiritual master and disciple is eternal. And suppose if the disciple could not achieve the perfection in this lifetime and is to again take birth as per Gita in some aristocratic family or some devotee family, so does he have to again accept spiritual master? And if he accepts, then in what way this relation is eternal? In what way this relation is eternal if he is to again accept the spiritual master?
You heard the question? The relationship between disciple and spiritual master is eternal. So if the spiritual master, if the disciple fails to complete Krishna consciousness in one lifetime and comes back again in another lifetime, as mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, in a Vaishya family or in a Brahmin family, devotee family, then again accepts a spiritual master. So how is the relationship eternal? It's an interesting question. We've thought about, and I've heard different answers in different ways. The first thing is that Krishna himself is actually the spiritual master. Bande Krishna Jagat Guru. And that spiritual master, who's the second self of Krishna, can appear in different ways. So sometimes he appears in one form, sometimes he appears in another form. But he's always there. Another explanation sometimes given is that the spiritual master himself actually comes back. And personally, he returns because the disciples have not finished their business. Therefore, Prabhupada sometimes said, "Don't make me come back." Otherwise, sometimes the spiritual master may appear through someone. About Bilba Mangala Thakur, he was instructed by a prostitute. And he understood that actually my spiritual master has appeared or spoken through that prostitute. So it can be taken that way also. It's a deep subject for contemplation. But the most important thing is that we should act in such a way as not to cause further difficulty for Krishna and the spiritual master. And for ourselves. We should get out of this place.
Pass the mic behind us.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Despite having been in touch with devotees for many years, sometimes we feel that we are trying our best to progress in Krishna consciousness, but still very often there are patches when we go through these cycles where sometimes when we go for yatras, when we are in constant touch with devotees, we are very happy and we are really charged up. But at other times when we are not in touch with devotees, when we come back from the yatra, for example, we go through a total trough, we go right to the bottom, and for a long time we stay there, and then for a short period we come up, again we go down. So when will that time ever come when we will be really truly blissful, as we hear, by being in Krishna consciousness we are blissful. So when will that time come when we will be more blissful and less in anxiety or whatever?
When your life becomes a yatra. What makes us blissful on the yatra? That we're always remembering Krishna. We're always chanting Krishna's name. So when in our life, we're always remembering Krishna, and we're continuously chanting Krishna's name, then we will always be blissful. When we forget Krishna, we become miserable. Even in the most miserable condition, if we take shelter of Krishna, remember Krishna, then we experience bliss within. Therefore, Krishna says to always remember Him. Make your life a yatra. Every moment of every day, utilize all your energy to glorify Krishna.
Might we pass there?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, in some of the scriptures, which chanting, there are three levels prescribed: Valkari, Pashanti, and Para. We have been, for the time being, practicing in Vaikari level. So, are there any prescribed qualification for chanting in Paschanti level and Para level? And if so, how to do it?
Hello? What book are you speaking from? Some scriptures means which scriptures?
That way I have read many books, so I can't specifically say that. But
I haven't seen it.
Some literature I have read it.
Pardon me?
In some of the literature, I have read it, these three levels of chanting.
And could you translate them? What are those three levels?
Vaikari means to chant it loudly and hear it. This Pashanti means to chant it in such a manner that you alone can hear it. But chanting and hearing, both these processes are there in Pashanti also. But in Para level, they say that chanting takes place automatically throughout.
What gets automatically thrown out?
Para level.
No, in Para, what gets thrown out?
The chanting takes place automatically from within.
And only within?
Only within.
Okay. At least in the literature that our book trust publishes, I haven't seen these three levels mentioned at all. That means all of Prabhupada's writings and so on. In our Krishna consciousness process, we have two things. We have kirtan, we have japa. The japa is for our individual spiritual development. It means chanting softly. It's not meant for others, it's meant for our own self. Softly chanting. And kirtan is for everyone. Krishna kirtana ganana tana paro. So the six Goswamis, they were doing both things. Sankipurvaka nama ganana tibhi kalabasa nikrito. They were chanting japa, prescribed number of rounds. And they were doing loud kirtan for broadcasting the glories of the Lord. And both these methods are on the absolute platform. Avinata nama namino. There's no difference between Krishna and Krishna nam. So if you're chanting softly, you're associating with Krishna. If you're chanting very loudly, you're associating with Krishna. So our real emphasis is not how loud we're chanting, whether we're chanting this way. Real thing is avoiding 10 offenses. If I chant very softly, or I chant only within my mind, and I commit 10 kinds of offenses while chanting, then it's useless to blaspheme the devotees of the Lord, to minimize the importance of scripture, to think that the chanting of the holy name is on the level of some pious activity, to commit sins on the strength of chanting, to think that the glories of chanting Hare Krishna are imaginary, to speculate and give some mundane interpretation about the chanting of the holy name. In this way, so many offenses we can commit. And if we commit these offenses at any level, then our chanting is less effective. And if we, as we become free from these offenses, then we reach the pure stage of chanting. Prabhupada mentioned several times three stages of chanting. The offensive stage, the clearing stage, and the pure stage. In the offensive stage, while we're chanting Hare Krishna, we inevitably commit these 10 kinds of offenses. Whether it's japa, whether it's kirtan, we're committing these offenses. And therefore we're not making the progress that we should, or we're not chanting very effectively. Still, as we go on chanting, despite our offenses, gradually we come to the clearing stage, in which the offenses, by the grace of Krishna, are diminishing. And the chanting becomes more effective. And gradually, as the offenses diminish, one finally comes to the pure stage of chanting, in which one can actually relish the presence of Krishna, and in which one's transcendental vibration of the holy name of the Lord becomes most beneficial for others also. Is that okay? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. A question was raised in this assembly a few months back. Can you hear me? A question was raised in this assembly a few months back that Kashyap Muni was an impersonalist, then why did Lord Krishna took birth at his place? But there are so many, and this was not defended that Kashyap Muni was not an impersonalist, even though there are so many proofs in Bhagavatam which says that Kashyap Muni was not an impersonalist. There was no defense whatsoever.
He's a great Vaishnava. Chaitanya Bhagavat declares that in previous births, Jagannath Mishra was Vasudev, was Kardama Muni, was Kashyapa Muni. The Lord takes birth in this material world in such a way to glorify His devotees. Krishna has no father and no mother in the sense that He is the source of everything that exists.
But to fulfill the desires of his devotees who have parental affection, he reveals himself through his devotees, just as the sun, although not born in the eastern horizon, appears to take birth in the eastern horizon. Therefore, we honor and worship the lotus feet of Kashyapa Muni, for by the power of his devotion and that of his wife, Aditi, the Supreme Lord appeared as Vamanadeva to attract the hearts of all the world. Hare Krishna.
But he was not an impersonalist, no?
No.
There is one question here. In Bhagavad Gita, we see Arjuna confronted a situation in which it was very difficult for him to take a decision to fight or not to fight. But then Krishna assured him and told him to fight on his behalf. Everything will be taken care of. Similarly, when we face a difficult situation in our life, and when we approach a counselor or guru, and when they give an instruction, is it implied that everything will be taken care of and that there should not be any fear? Is it a guarantee like Krishna gave Arjuna? Or how should we take such an instruction?
Yes, when the bona fide spiritual master, bona fide representative of Krishna, gives us an instruction, then by following that instruction there will be good fortune for us. Yes. If I'm acting in Krishna consciousness under higher guidance, then why should there be anything but good fortune? Therefore, the guru or senior devotees have a great responsibility that they should speak perfectly. They should speak what's spoken by Krishna. Speak what's spoken by Krishna, then it will be always right. Of course, in the material world, when we try to apply Krishna consciousness in this world, things may or may not work. So we try something. Just like a doctor, he prescribes something. If it doesn't work, you prescribe something else. Try this for 10 days. If it doesn't work, we'll change the prescription. So the spiritual master sometimes has to try different ways and means to unstick the disciple from Maya, or to guide him through the difficulties of this material world. It's not like mundane trial and error. Material world, mundane trial and error, whether it's a success or a failure, it's always error. Because it's without Krishna consciousness. And in Krishna consciousness, whether it's error or it's correct, it's always correct. Because the basic principle is correct. To always act for the satisfaction of Krishna. And therefore Krishna always protects the devotee, both the leader and the follower. As long as the leader is strictly following the principles of disciplic succession, principles of Krishna consciousness, and the follower is strictly following the leader, everything's all right.
One more question. When one can really qualify to become a disciple of a guru?
When one makes the order of Guru one's life and soul.
two questions. Why does one not get immediate reaction of sinful activities just after committing them, so that he may take a lesson and may improve towards the path of bhakti?
Why do lessons have to be immediate? That we don't learn anything unless it immediately happens. This is some mental concoction. Just like you do something, you eat the wrong thing, and you don't get an immediate reaction. You feel happy, it's wonderful, it tasted so good. And it's only some hours later, or the next morning, that you're diseased, you're miserable, you're suffering like anything. So it's not that because it didn't happen immediately, you didn't learn anything. You learned the hard way, and it took some time. And there are so many things like that. Sometimes it takes half of our life before sometimes an old man realizes, in my youth I did that, this or that, now I'm suffering. But he learns it the hard way. A more intelligent person learns it by hearing. He hears from that old man, when I was young I did this, now I'm suffering. And then he thinks, well then I shouldn't do that, I don't want to suffer. So there's three kinds of people, Prabhupada said. The most intelligent person learns by hearing. And little less intelligent, he learns by experience. And still less intelligent, he never learns. So best to learn by hearing. By hearing from authorities, we should learn.
Just one more question here. What should be our duty towards our God brother, God sister, who unfortunately has left the movement, so that they can again join the glorious movement?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, yeah. Do what you can. With great difficulty, a person is trained up in Krishna consciousness. So we should be very reluctant to lose anyone. Prabhupada gave the example that in the war, last world war, they had bomber pilots. And these bomber pilots required so much training, so much investment of time and energy. So the Army or Air Force was very reluctant to lose a fighter pilot. And so they carefully protected them. You know, that bomber goes surrounded by so many other planes to protect it. And the intelligence forces are working on the ground in this way and that way, so that bomber pilot can successfully complete his mission. And somehow if his plane gets hit, then the paratroopers go in and they try to pull him back out of the jungle, whatever can be done. So we should be very concerned for the devotees who've dedicated their lives for this Krishna consciousness, for the service of Krishna, and very much reluctant to lose anyone, and very keen to get anyone back who has left. So we should try our best, but again, we can't do everything. We try. But everyone has his own independence. And finally it's up to him whether he wants to serve Krishna or try to serve his own sense gratification, which means serving Maya. Serving Maya means learning really the hard way. So better. Somehow we should try to bring him as best as we're able. Otherwise, he's too obstinate, then what can we do? Carry on. The same thing, the army, they tried their best to save that person, protect that person. Ultimately, if nothing can be done, then they carry on with the war.
Hare Krishna. It is said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears once in 72 kalpas. Then what is the way for deliverance in other Kali Yugas? How Harinam is spread? How people are delivered in other Kali Yugas?
In every Kali Yuga, the Lord appears as Yuga Avatar to teach the transcendental method of Harinam Sankirtan. However, only once in a day of Brahma does Radha and Krishna from the spiritual world of Golok personally descend in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give what no other incarnation gives, the conjugal love of Vrindavan to everyone and anyone without discrimination. That is the special, very, very rare quality that only comes once in a day of Brahma when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in this way. However, in every Kali Yuga, the Lord appears to teach the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare. And by this process, in every Kali Yuga, we can attain pure love of Krishna through the process. In other words, the different avatars are incarnations of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. However, Krishna himself, in his original form, appears as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only once in a day of Brahma. So, Srila Prabhupada explained how fortunate we are that so recently, only hardly 500 years ago, this tremendous event had taken place. In our disciplic succession, each of our acharyas is so closely connected and united to the presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When we go to Navadvip Dham, we see the places where he performed his leela are still there. Some of the trees that he sat under are still present. Some of the temples that he visited, we can also visit. The books, the direct books of his own personal associates, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, are still with us. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say, very recently, the Lord appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By material calculation, 500 years is not very recent. The history of America had not even begun 500 years ago. However, from the point of view of Vedic history, where we calculate not by worldly events, but by the various incarnations of the Lord, by the days and nights of Lord Rama, very recent. So we should take advantage, because if we don't perfect our lives with the very immediate mercy that Srila Prabhupada has given us, we may have to see millions and millions of more Kali Yugas.
There's one question here. How does one avoid being a hypocrite as far as we are with Vaishnavas or while doing devotional service?
How does one avoid being a hypocrite when we're with Vaishnavas or doing devotional service? course, we shouldn't be hypocrites when we're not with Vaishnavas. And we should always be doing devotional service. Hypocrite means person who's speaking one thing and he's doing something else. His principles and his actions are not the same. So we should understand the instructions of Krishna consciousness carefully and act in a manner consistent with the instructions. Otherwise, then hypocrisy comes. Just like the politicians, they're very conspicuously hypocritical. They're always speaking whatever anybody wants to hear and doing whatever fits their sense gratification. Duplicitous, cheating, and so many. So we should stick to our principles, that's all. And what is the reason for being hypocritical? It doesn't advance our cause. We should just stick to our guns.
Next question. What should be our consciousness at the time of initiation?
Our consciousness should be very eager and determined to perfect this valuable human form of life. Durlabha manava janma lokya samsare. Human form of life is very rare. And the rarest thing in this human life is to meet Krishna, who manifests through the spiritual masters. We should be so very grateful, eager, and determined to never have to take birth again. At initiation, we take vows to chant the holy names 16 rounds every day, to follow the four regulative principles: no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, to hear submissively, and to surrender our lives in the path of bhakti. These are the vows we're taking. If we follow those vows carefully, by the mercy of Krishna and Guru, we will gain Krishna prema. So at time of initiation, we should be aware of what we are taking vows to do. What is the spirit of this commitment? And we should be very, very much determined to not waste any more time trying to enjoy chewing what has already been chewed through so many previous births and deaths. Determination, dhritavrata, is essential for spiritual advancement.
Maharaj, in Brihad Bhagavatam.
Hello.
Yeah.
I was thinking more about this hypocrisy question. In one sense, it's not how we can act free from hypocrisy, but how we can reduce it. Because it's like a disease. This hypocrisy means we want to seem like something that we're not. And that tendency is there, that every one of us wants to seem like more than we are. I'm a better devotee than I present myself as a better devotee than I am, or as a better businessman, or a better intellect, or a better this or that. That habit is there. Ultimately, we want to present ourselves as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or as close as we can come. So we have to be aware of that propensity, aware of that kind of thing, that kind of symptom, and be introspective that am I actually acting in Krishna consciousness or am I acting in some other way. So again, it comes to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction, amanina amanadena, that why should I present myself as being so great? That's not Krishna consciousness. Rather, one should present oneself as being full of faults, and the chances are greater that he'll be right and rightly situated. Yeah, your question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, in Bhagavad Bhagavatam we heard that we have to cultivate the mood.
Excuse me, more slowly and more slowly.
Maharaj, there was a millennial lecture series by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj.
Wait. You have to go. Yes, face me and then, hello? Face me and then we can communicate. Otherwise, you're looking down at the floor and I can't understand anything.
We heard that we have to cultivate the mood of loving Krishna in separation.
Yes.
So, but sometimes I have a fear that sometimes I become sentimental, artificially try to jump to a platform of pure duty, start composing. But then, you know, so please guide us, Maharaj, how to protect oneself from such emotional complications.
Just try to chant Hare Krishna sincerely. It's not that our goal is to appear to be absorbed in love of Krishna. Our goal is actually to get love of Krishna. And that doesn't come by forcing it. A girl doesn't become a grown-up woman by standing in her mother's shoes. It takes time. Gradually, she'll grow up, she'll get married, everything. But just to play at it is not the thing. It can't be forced. It can't be forced. Just like you're standing over the boiling pot, and it won't go quicker because you're standing over it, or because you're pretending that it's going quicker, or wishing it'll go more quickly. You just follow and patiently follow, and one day it will come. Rupa Goswami says, utsaha nishtayad taryat tat tat karma. One should have enthusiasm, determination, patience, and follow the regulative principles. Therefore, Prabhupada emphasized these things. Submissive following of the bona fide spiritual master, acting as the menial servant of the bona fide guru, chanting regularly 16 rounds and avoiding these 10 offenses, strictly following 4 regulative principles, regularly following the path of sadhana, regulated devotional life. And by following such principles, as we read in Nectar of Devotion, gradually everything will come in genuine form. Otherwise, if we just jump up and think that we can force our way into Goloka Vrindavan, then it's just a joke. Just like there are some people in Vrindavan, they dress up as gopis. And they imagine that now they're in the mood of the gopis. But it's not possible to actually develop the mood of a gopi simply by putting on a sari and some gold bangles. And Prabhupada said, nor is Krishna so foolish that he doesn't know the difference. So we have to follow step by step, and in the mature stage it will naturally come.
The mic is in with you? Yeah, you can.
Maharaj, my friends want to know why do celebrate only Radha Rani Mataji's appearance day and not Rukmani Mataji's appearance day?
Sri Radha Rani is the original goddess of fortune. If you celebrate Radha Rani's appearance day, Rukmini is included.
If you worship Krishna, all other avatars are included. And if you worship Srimati Radharani, all of the consorts of all other avatars are included. Rukmini is most pleased when you celebrate Radhastami. And we celebrate by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. The next person. Why a living entity, that too especially a devotee, are put in a situation which is very, very troublesome?
As Maharaj was saying, Krishna acts to glorify his devotees. So that difficulty becomes glorification. If Srila Prabhupada had gone to America and been met by the Rockefellers and all the big millionaires and picked up at the airport in a Cadillac limousine, and everything had come simply and wonderfully like that, then who would care about him? But it wouldn't be a story. But as Prabhupada began this movement with so much difficulty, with so much personal struggle, everyone is astonished how wonderfully Prabhupada carried on to fulfill the orders of his spiritual master, and how instructive it is also. Everyone else goes through difficulty. So if the Vaishnavas don't go through any difficulty, where's the example for others? The Vaishnavas have it easy, and they just enjoy. But if there's any difficulty, we don't know if they'd actually be sticking to Krishna consciousness. But we see from the lives of the Vaishnavas that may be sometimes easy, maybe sometimes difficult, but they stick to the service of Krishna. So it's instructive for us. It glorifies the Vaishnavas. And also for those of us who may not be pure devotees or perfect devotees, it's instructive for us also. The teacher doesn't simply give easy assignments. When there's difficulty, then you have to think, then you have to study, then you have to work, then you have to really learn your subject. So when Krishna makes it difficult for us, that's his kindness. And now I have to go through some difficulty for Krishna. When everything is smooth sailing, that's another thing, that we may forget Krishna. That where everything is going nicely and I can be lax, everything will be fine. But when there's difficulty, then you have to be completely attentive. And you have to depend on Krishna more. So just to increase the dependency of his devotees, Krishna may sometimes place the devotee in difficulty. That's special kindness. Special kindness for the devotees. Yes, yaham nu grunami harisheta dimashim. Kunti's prayers also.
Okay, next question. Maharaj, Bhagavatam says that demigods are Sakama devotees. Why? Is it that they do not know devotional service is higher? If they know, why they pray for material benefit?
In general, why a person goes to the heavenly planets rather than going back home, back to Godhead, is because they are devotees who have still some desire to lord it over material nature. But they want to lord it over material nature in the service of Krishna. They don't want to do it simply for themselves. They want to serve Krishna, but at the same time, they want to for their own sense gratification, enjoy the facilities that they use in the service of Krishna. Of course, there are also demigods who are pure Vaishnavas. So we, in the Gaudiya Vaishnav line, we want to follow the principle that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. Na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagatisha kamaye mama janmani janmani swari bhavatat bhakti rahaita kitvaye. We do not want any amount of wealth, nor do we want to enjoy with the most beautiful forms of the opposite sex, nor do we want followers, power, prestige. We don't even want liberation from suffering. We simply want to serve Krishna birth after birth after birth, in whatever condition. Abrama abhuvanaloka apunara avatanarjana mamu bheja tukonte apunara janmana vidyate. Even if we attain the highest post of demigods, to the point of Brahma Loka, still, everything is temporary. We have to suffer. Therefore, we should fix, as the only goal in our life, the purification of our heart, pure unalloyed devotional service. The prayers of the great Vaishnavas, Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Thakur Haridas, when they were given any benedictions, they did not consider any of the things of this material world. They only wanted pure devotional service to Krishna. We should honor and respect the demigods because they are great devotees, but at the same time, we want to associate with pure devotees who have no desire to enjoy either the pleasures of material life or even liberation. The demigods also have tremendous mystic powers. If any demigod were to come on the earth and perform even a tiny portion of the mystic powers they have, millions and millions of people would worship them as God. In the heavenly planets, practically everyone has these mystic powers. Just by their thought that they could drop the city, they could create whatever they desire. Beautiful bodies, free from disease. They could fly in the sky. They could walk on water. They could read people's minds. These are just common qualifications of those in the heavenly planets. But Rupa Goswami taught we should want nothing to do with these mystic powers. Nor should we want anything to do with all of the wonderful pleasures of sense gratification of the heavenly planets. Nor should we even have any inclination for liberation. Then we can go to Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, I am a student. If I get spare time, what should I choose to do between chanting extra rounds, reading books, and preaching?
Means our books? Do what you like. They're all absolute. Chanting, distributing books, reading books, they're all good. Do as you like. You can't go wrong. Or do some of everything. Read something, chant something, distribute something. It's all good, absolute.
Sometime we discuss with devotees with other parampara, and that time our ego comes up. our Guru Maharaj and our parampara is best. That time what should we do?
We should not be proud when we receive good fortune. We should be grateful for the good fortune we have received. But if we are proud and we take the credit, or we think that we are better than someone else, maybe the fortune we receive may be better than what somebody else has received. But if we think we're better, then we will fall down. Amani na manadena. We should offer all respects to others. We should always be trying, whenever the opportunity comes, to try to elevate a person to receive that good fortune. But it should not be done with pride that I am better than you. It should be done in a spirit of servitude. The postman is not proud that because I'm giving you this check for 1 lakh of rupees, I'm more wealthy than you. The postman is simply delivering in the spirit of a servant. Prabhupada himself called himself the postal peon of his spiritual master. This was his humility. So we should not consider that the message is ours. We should not consider that the good fortune is our property. It is Krishna Guru's property. Srila Prabhupada, when he was asked, what is our qualification to receive the highest message that you're giving us? He said, you have no qualification. His mercy is our qualification. So never ever become proud. Never take the credit. Just try to give that good fortune to others in a spirit of respect, humility, and servitude. And if you maintain that consciousness, then by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, you can be empowered. But if you become proud, punar mushtakabhava, then you'll lose everything.
Hare Krishna. It is said that Kali Yuga is the age of degradation. With only 5,000 years passed, there is still much more degradation to come. But we see that the glory of Lord Chaitanya in the form of Krishna consciousness movement is spreading every day, with more and more people becoming devotees. How do we understand these two seemingly contradictory things?
Prabhupada explained that it's like a stream and an eddy. You know what an eddy is? The stream is going this way and there's a little current going the other way. Well, Kali Yuga is going this way, and for a few thousand years it's going this way. Or still, however many people are becoming devotees, we say, oh, 5,000 people became... It's nothing. The number of people who are doing everything else, it's nothing. Still, time goes on, it may be bigger, already bigger, but compared to the way Kali Yuga goes, it's only an eddy, one of those tides that goes in the opposite direction. Anyway, at least we should be in that current going opposite to the direction of Kali Yuga.
So, let us go opposite the current. With this, we come to this conclusion of this session. We'll now have